Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might humbly walk toward the new world of mercy and justice you are creating in our midst. Amen. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite all the children in the sanctuary who would like to come forward and join me up here. If you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. As you're coming down, remember these rails are closed for communion, so we'll go all the way around, come into the side. We'll gather right here around the baptismal font. Welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness, we have a big crowd today. So happy to see all of you. See some of these spring colors. The flowers are starting to bloom. We may be finished with snow for the year. Come on up and have a seat. Welcome, welcome. Come on down. I love to see the skipping. Well, yesterday, there was a big group from our church, and I know some of you were there, and we were doing some work at another church. It's sort of across town. This is a church that we are friends with. We know each other, and we care about each other. And we asked them, what can we do to help? Are there things we can do to help you? Because they do a lot of work with people who are living on the streets, with people who are poor, people who've been in the hospital. And so we want to help with that work. And so they had a whole list of things that they needed help with. So there were people, I was scrubbing tablecloths to clean off tablecloths. There were people putting together shelves and gardening. And there were a lot of people, raise your hand if you helped with the potatoes. Look at all these people. Yeah, CJ, y'all helped with the potatoes. You went in the bucket with the potatoes. Oh, that sounds like fun. So putting together these bags of potatoes to give to people who were hungry and needed some food. And you know what? That is exactly what Jesus teaches us to do, to help people. There's a man that Jesus met one day, and he called out for help to Jesus. "Jesus, help me. Jesus, have mercy on me," he said. And Jesus said, "How can I help you? What would you like for me to do for you?" And so the man told him, and Jesus gave him his sight again. So that's just one of the things that we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus, is help people. And there are things that you can do and I can do every single day if we just open our hearts and pay attention and think, I wonder who I can help today. And I bet God will show you somebody. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the way that you guide us and love us and show us when we can help. Give us eyes to see and hearts that are open and ears that are open so we can be aware of people and what they might need and offer help, whether it's a hug or a hot meal or a bag of potatoes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Will. All right, you can follow Pastor Will. Gosh, y'all are going to have fun. I want to come where you're going. Wow, it looks emptier out there. All those kids, it's wonderful. Ed read for us one of my most favorite passages of Scripture in all of the Gospels. This encounter between Jesus and a man named Bartimaeus. Especially the way the Gospel of Mark tells the story is just so rich. It's one of those passages of Scripture that you can read over and over and over again, and you'll notice something different every time. It'll speak to your heart, speak into your life in a different way almost every time. We can read this text and put ourselves in place of the crowd and see how we at times want to ignore people and turn away from those in need, or how we feel like we need to be Jesus' bodyguard sometimes. We can put ourselves in the place of Bartimaeus and see what it feels like to cry out to Jesus for mercy, to connect with that feeling of being invisible, of being pushed aside by the crowds and by others, and then realizing how it feels for Jesus to see us and notice us and ask what we need. We can pay attention to what the disciples are up to in this text. There's so many different ways to enter into this story. You could almost go through it line by line, word by word, just asking the Spirit to nudge you to what God wants to tell you for that day. But this week, during this season of Lent, we're approaching this encounter between Bartimaeus and Jesus through the lens of the prophet Micah, especially what Micah says to us about mercy. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time this week or for the first time in a while, for these 6 weeks of Lent, we are allowing the words of the prophet Micah to guide us when he calls us to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. For the past 2 weeks, we've examined what it means to do justice. What is biblical justice and how do we live that out in our world? And now today we turn our attention to mercy. What does it mean to love mercy? Or as it can be translated, to love kindness. And so in this story, Jesus' encounter with Bartimaeus, we look to Jesus to see what does Jesus do in this text? How does he set an example for us of what mercy looks like, what kindness looks like? That is, after all, what Bartimaeus is crying out for in this story. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. So what does it mean to be people of mercy? We're just going to do a quick little tiptoe through the story. It's a communion Sunday, so we have plenty of time to be at the table together. But I want to highlight one of the first things we can notice in this story that's a little different from some of the other healing stories we encounter in Mark and in the other Gospels. Bartimaeus has a name. Most of the time we don't get the name of the person who's healed in the Gospels, but we know Bartimaeus's name. His name literally means son of Timaeus. Bar is son of, Timaeus is his father's name. So right away, we know that this man who is living on the margins, who is relegated to begging on the side of the road, living at the mercy of other people's charity, has a name. He is somebody's son. He was born into this world just like all of us are, naked and dependent on other people to care for us and feed us and nourish us. This fact that we have his name is a reminder that he's just like us, that we are all connected to one another, that we are all in need of mercy. And that, in fact, mercy has nothing to do with who we are or our deserving or our worthiness of it. The whole act of offering mercy and kindness to someone means that it's given without looking at how the person deserves it or whether they're worthy or whether they can pay us back and return the favor. So we see Bartimaeus, a man with a name, a man with a story, a man just like everyone else in the crowd that day, and just like us in his need. So he's on the side of the road. He likely has been a beggar, someone begging for alms and begging for others to help him for a long time now. He's gotten that label from those around him. And the crowd tries to hush him up. Why would they do that? Perhaps because they think Jesus is just too important. He's the celebrity passing through town. And we know at this point that Jesus has places to go and things to do. He has a mission. He has an agenda. He is passing through Jericho because he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's already told his disciples 3 times now that he's going to Jerusalem, that he will be arrested by the authorities and handed over to the Romans, and they will crucify him. He's on that road. And maybe it's because he's got that agenda, he's got that purpose, he's on the move, that the crowds just want Bartimaeus to leave him alone, be quiet, he doesn't have time for you, you nobody. But Jesus stops. Mark gives us this incredible little detail. Mark is a man of few words. His gospel's the shortest one we have, and yet he gives us this detail that as Jesus walks through Jericho and Bartimaeus is crying out, Jesus stands still. He stops, and he hears the cry of Bartimaeus. He sets an example for us. Sometimes I think we don't notice the needs around us because we're on a mission. We're in a hurry. We've got things to do. We're focused on where we're headed and our purpose. I know I'm that way. I'm walking down the street. I'm heading somewhere. I'm late for a meeting, and there's somebody who's asking me for help or somebody who wants to talk. I'm sorry. I got to keep moving because that purpose is more important than this need in front of me. It's human nature. But Jesus stands still. He slows down long enough to hear the cries of Bartimaeus. He does in this story what so often we don't do. We confessed it together as we came into worship. In fact, every time we have communion, we say the same prayer of confession. Have you noticed that? It's right out of the Book of Worship, the United Methodist Church Book of Worship. And one of the things that we confess is that we have not heard the cry of the needy. Or maybe we've heard it, but we haven't listened. Or maybe we've heard it, and we've just told ourselves we don't have time to do anything about it. But Jesus stood still, and he heard the cry of Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus tells, I don't know if it's his disciples or people in the crowd, call him here. Isn't that interesting? Just the little parentheses over here that Jesus gets the crowd involved. He invites them to take part in hearing Bartimaeus. He's showing them, he's teaching them, he's involving them in this work of mercy. Go and call him here. And so Bartimaeus springs up. He throws off his cloak, perhaps his only possession in all the world, because he has now been noticed. And he comes before Jesus. And then we get to this part in the story that just breaks my heart open. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Isn't that amazing? I mean, you'd think it would be obvious. Bartimaeus is someone who has lost his sight. He's begging by the side of the road. It would be easy to assume what Bartimaeus needs or wants. But Jesus doesn't assume that. It could be that for Bartimaeus, the fact that he's vision impaired isn't a big deal for him, but his life is full and fine without that. It may be that what he really needs is forgiveness of something that's eating away at his soul, or some other physical ailment or mental distress that Jesus doesn't presume to know. He gives Bartimaeus the dignity and the agency to name what it is that he is crying out for, that he wants in his deepest being. And that's when Bartimaeus says, "My teacher, I want to see again." That's an important lesson for us. I think most of us, if not all of us, want to be people who help others. We want to be merciful people. We want to meet the needs of others as best we can. And yet sometimes it's easy to assume we know what people need. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of that when you've been going through something and somebody brings, you know, more food than you could possibly eat, or they assume what they think you need and it's really not what you need and it becomes more of a burden than a help. We can do that as a church. We can go into a community thinking we know what they need when it may not actually be what they need or what they're asking for. I remember visiting a ministry in Memphis that had started with a church. And initially, the church had gone into this community and said, "We're going to start an after-school tutoring program," because what community doesn't want an after-school program? What a great idea. And nobody came. And they started to get frustrated and angry at the people in the community because they weren't taking advantage of this after-school program that this church had started. But finally, as they built some relationships in the community and they began to listen and learn, they realized that for most of the kids, the bus schedule didn't allow them to stay after school that long. And for some of the older kids, they really needed to get a job after school and the timing didn't work for them. And so they began to have deeper conversations and listening conversations. Tell us what we can do to come alongside and help. What is it that you want us to do with and for you? Jesus asked that question of Bartimaeus. And then when Bartimaeus regains his sight, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." It wasn't just me giving you a handout or giving charity. It was us together. The fact that you believed that I could and would do this for you. Jesus affirms Bartimaeus and recognizes the co-creator that Bartimaeus is in his own healing. And then because of this encounter, Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way. He becomes a disciple. So it's not just physical sight that has been returned, but belonging and relationship and life and purpose have been restored in Bartimaeus's life. It's true that we can't meet every need that comes before us. It's just the world that we live in. We can't help every person who crosses our path, but we can learn a few lessons from Jesus and his beautiful interaction with Bartimaeus. We can remember that everybody has a name and a story and is just as worthy as we are of God's love and healing. We can slow down. We can grow still. We can stay open to what is right in front of us in case there is a need we might be able to meet. And we can listen and allow others to lead us in how best to show mercy and to offer help. And so the words that come to me in these last few moments are, you won't be surprised, from our dear brother John Wesley. The invitation, simply to do all the good we can. Amen.